Hi everyone! Welcome back to Crown Posse, a lighthearted look into the lives of our favorite royals across the pond. Today's episode, Megan is joining me once again, and we are talking about the life and death of our girl, the Princess of Wales, Diana. Megan's come prepared with some facts and theories surrounding her death, and to be honest with you, it's going to blow your mind. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode. Today's episode is very exciting. We're once again joined by Megan.
Hi.
But yeah, it's a very exciting one because it's something we are very passionate about.
Yes.
This topic consumes, I'm going to go ahead and say at least 40% of our day-to-day conversations.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's probably what we bonded over.
We went through a whole roller coaster, though, with this.
Yeah, I know. I want to get into that. It's also something we consider ourselves to be experts on.
For sure.
At an extremely deep level. And that topic is Diana, the Princess of Wales. Oh, girl.
This is the most excited I've ever been to record.
That makes me so happy, first of all. So just a little background. I don't even know where to start, but I feel like everyone, Diana's kind of the tether to the royal family for most people.
Agreed.
Like, you know, most people aren't walking
around princess.
The people's princess, the princess of people's hearts.
Yeah.
But most people, like, probably don't really care about the royal family or know much about Queen Elizabeth or anything like that, but they know Diana.
I think most people know, maybe not most, but I think a lot of people know who Charles is because he was married to Diana.
100%.
Which is such a nightmare to him, unfortunately.
Yes, that was his
a whole other side of the coin for a different episode, which is, it's heartbreaking, but that's why we know Charles, because he married Diana.
No, that's a great point. I wonder how prevalent the royal family would be in America without the addition of Diana. I don't know how
far would we have followed any of it?
Right, who knows? But yeah, that might be a conversation for another day.
Right.
That is Charles' literal nightmare. So I'll just speak for myself on this one. And obviously you can speak for yourself, but
plan to,
or you can speak for me. I'll speak for you. But because initially when I first really got into the royal family, because I felt so loyal to Elizabeth and the establishment of the royal family, it took me a little while to warm up to Diana because I saw her from the royal family's perspective, which really was a problem.
Right.
Like, she was a problem.
Absolutely. For them. She was a terrible royal.
Yeah, she was not good at her job. To an extent. But, so it took me a while to kind of warm up to her, and I really had, like, a chip on my shoulder about her.
I remember.
And that's kind of a rare perspective for most people, you know what I mean? But then through research and the more books I read and the more documentaries I watched, my eyes were really open to kind of what an incredible person she was and what a sad story the whole relationship was. And that was what helped me, like, come around. And now I can't imagine someone that I love more. Like, I love her so much.
So for me, I've got my dear Beanie Baby here. And like we've talked about, I think in past episodes, when I found out about her death, I thought she was a mermaid. I thought Wales was the mammal, you know, I thought she was a marine princess. So I knew very little about her at all. And then I think my obsession with the British royal family really came from you and I getting closer. And with Harry and Meghan's wedding and starting to follow the different protocols, that's what really got me into what does being a royal look like. Mm-hmm. And that's where I quickly aligned with you that, well, Diana wasn't a very good royal.
Right, like, she was a problem.
Why is everybody obsessed with her? Like, she didn't. But then I totally agree. The more we learned, the more research we did, different documentaries and stuff that we've watched, it is really a heartbreaking story. And she really was a wonderful, wonderful mother, humanitarian. Mm-hmm. But I still stand to a terrible royal.
Yeah.
They were never going to be able to break her. Yeah. You have to fit a certain mold, and she was never going to fit into that.
Right.
And I think it's ironic. And I don't know if maybe it's in your notes and I'm jumping ahead, but in Diana, in her own words, there's a point where she says, like when he proposes or something about her being the future queen. And she says to herself, well, I don't think I'll be queen, but I'll have a tough go
Tough role.
Yeah. Yep.
No, that was actually my next point was basically throughout this podcast or whatever, if you're interested in
kind of learning more about Diana, I think the most impactful resource that I could recommend and we could recommend is Diana in her own words. And we've talked about this on a past episode too, but it's currently on Disney Plus because I think it was produced by National Geographic, but I could be wrong on that.
I bought it on Amazon because I just need to, I rewatch it all day. I listen to just the audio sometimes. Yes. I love her voice.
It's so calming. Even though it's like a very sad documentary, I like fall asleep to it.
No,
it's
I totally, I just love, so you know how with like Audible, a lot of Audibles will have the author actually read the book. Like, I wish that we had that because Diana, in her own words, is both a documentary and a book that's been released. And I wish that I could have her read that whole book to me because I as much as I hated Spare, I loved listening to Harry read it. Yes. Like, just something about her voice. I feel like I know her. I feel like I know her.
No, we do. We are convinced that if we tried hard enough and then went and saw a medium, that she would come through to us because we're
I don't even think it's tried hard enough. I think we have to go often enough.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think she's going to push, like, our grandparents or your dad out of the way. Like, Diana's not like, excuse me, Dick, like, I've got something to say. I think once our, like, close family members can get out enough of what they need, I think she'll show up. Like, probably Snape.
Yes, yeah. I do have to say...
Just had to slip that in.
They're really like, what? I do have to say, Dad, if you're listening and you do try to come through and Diana is behind you in line.
Just give her,
like,
a second.
Just give her one second. I want to hear everything. I miss you so much. I want to hear what you have to say. But if she's behind you.
Like, she might not be coming next time. Yeah, so if she's in line, maybe just like.
Yeah, give her a second. So.
If you're listening, Nick.
Yeah, if you're listening. I think he subscribes.
Aw, I love
you know,
that.
You know, I can see where my listeners are. It'll be like. Australia, U.S., Canada, and...
Neverland. Yeah. You said heaven and I said Neverland. Same thing.
Okay, this is going so good already. So yeah, Diana, in her own words, like Megan said, basically she agreed, while she was still married to
Can I interrupt you really fast? Going forward, can we all agree that... Diana, in her own words, is Dihow.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's the abbreviation that we always say to each other. Yeah. And if we're going to keep referencing it, Diana, in her own words, that takes, like, 10 seconds to say.
And I, trip over my...
It's just a lot. Dihow.
Okay, Dihow, that's what we call it. So, in Dihow, she was still married to Charles. Were they separated yet? They
I don't married. Even, I don't even think so, because wasn't it, like, 92?
Yeah, it was, like... That, but that's why I had a chip on my shoulder about her, because that's such an egregious thing to do.
Agreed. She was under the impression that there was no way out, and she was just...
Yeah. So she agreed
She to was tricked, her, though.
Not for Dihow.
Oh, no. For the other interview, you're right.
Where she was older and separated, and this was just her going off the rails.
Oh, shit, you're right.
So, Dihow, she agreed to secret interviews... Her friend was the one that came to the secret interviews at Kensington Palace.
Right.
But he was asking questions for author Andrew Morton.
And Andrew Morton never met with Diana one-on-one so that he could always say...
Yes.
It was a source, though she was the source.
Yes.
And I remember that now.
She always denied having any involvement in it. And then after she passed, he re-released the book.
And said it was her.
Yeah, she was the source.
Because of Jill's.
I know. Okay, so here, you know, we're going to get into why she felt that was necessary and how sad the relationship was. But just getting into the royal family, I heard that. And I'm like, what a loose cannon.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, why are you doing that? So I can...
Kind of how some people are starting to feel about Meghan right now.
100%. And I even wrote at the end... of my notes, I said, I think she'd be so proud of William for how well he's doing as the heir.
1000%.
And I think she'd be so proud of Harry for pretty much telling them to fuck off.
I agree. I agree.
I think
she I wish she were here to support them both.
Oh, yeah. I do
because
too.
She would help them avoid this rift, too, I think. Because I think she would fully understand and back each boy.
Yeah, I agree.
Without them having to turn on each other, and they just don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, and I think William has... Charles understands William. Charles does not understand where Harry's coming from, where Diana would understand where Harry's coming
Correct.
From, and just not really understand William's role, just support him in it.
But,
you know.
100%.
So.
Agreed.
I really don't think we need to get into, like, who Diana is, if you're listening
no,
to this podcast.
I think we, yeah.
I'm confident you know who she is. But I do want to talk through maybe our interpretation of her marriage to Charles.
Okay.
Because I think that's where her story starts, and that laid the groundwork for why she rebelled so much.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she married Charles when she was 20, and Charles was 32.
Was she 20?
She had just turned 20. Yeah, they were married in July. She turned 20 July 1st. Side note, Megan and I go out every July 1st to celebrate Diana's birthday. And
we do.
Get her favorite dessert, which is bread pudding.
Yes. That's all very factual. We go to Edibles.
We go to Edibles because they're the only place in the city that has bread pudding.
And so they don't really appreciate our tradition, but they're nice
they
to
don't.
Us.
Really
I mean, they don't think it's that cute. Like, we try to tell them about it, and they're like,
I'll
get that in for you. Yeah. We're just like, no, this is something.
Like, you don't care? It's Diana's birthday.
Like, but, okay, yeah. So, side note, then, so she got pregnant with William fairly quickly then, because wasn't she 20 when she was pregnant? I don't know if she was 20 when she gave birth,
but
that sticks out as, like, a memory to me in the last couple days of things that I've been reading and watching.
I'm sure that's true. I mean,
She was very young.
Yes.
Very young.
I just picture, okay, so, it puts it into perspective, kind of, when you think who you were at 19,
oh, my 20. God. I do that with my mom all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, you were my age and you had 3 kids.
What? Why? Why would you do that?
Exactly. No wonder you have all these issues.
Oh.
She doesn't listen.
Oh,
okay. if you do it, I still love you.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. So, basically, 19, 20 years old, she thinks this man is in love with her.
Absolutely.
She thinks they're in love. They're in a committed relationship. Asked her to marry him because he's in love with her. And I don't think it's at fault of Charles that that wasn't necessarily the case. I think they went into it with different expectations.
Absolutely.
Where, again, she thought she was marrying the love of her life, even though they didn't even know each other very well. I think she said between meeting him and marrying him, they were together like 12 times.
Yes. I remember that. Yes.
So,
yep.
And also I want to point out, not that I would know anything about this, but I think that's slightly standard for aristocratic families.
Agreed.
Like, especially the royal family. Like, from an outside perspective, it doesn't look very romantic. It's more the duty to get married and produce an heir. But I'm sure as a 19-year-old in it, you think this guy's in love with you. And you're so
excited. At least hope for the best.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Yeah. So I just think they came from different expectations.
Well, and it's relevant to mention that he wanted to marry Camilla.
Exactly.
And I think that's why, regardless of how deep I'm about to get into conspiracies, I can't say I don't fault Charles, but I can understand why he was never all in. This isn't what he wanted. It was set up for him.
Yes.
He wanted Camilla. When he was away in the Navy, Camilla got married off to Andrew Parker Bowles.
Yes.
And it was a whole thing. And so then now, even if she left him, she's a divorced woman. She's off limits.
Yep.
He couldn't have what he wanted.
Yeah.
And so I don't like how often in Die How she does say, like, pig for slaughter.
Yeah.
I think that's such a gross, like, not just because slaughter is weird, but, like, just in general, like, oh, yeah, I don't know if you were the sacrificial lamb there, dear.
Yeah, which she believes she was.
And so that's where I think she's, okay, let's bring it back a minute here.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't brand new to this.
Yes.
You did believe that he loved you, but you're not brand new to the British royal family or the aristocratic lifestyle.
Exactly.
You were a lady. You grew up going to Sandringham for Christmas.
Her dad was an earl.
Watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, which you don't love.
Right? I don't. I think it's the creepiest shit ever.
I've never seen it.
Don't.
Okay.
Like, when I initially brought it up to you the other day, I was like, you gotta watch it. It's so weird. And then I'm like, no, just don't.
Don't put her through that.
It doesn't even, like, it was weird when I first watched it back in the 90s. And I think it was weird when it was created. And it probably doesn't even translate anymore. It's just, it's creepy as fuck.
Oh, really?
So I would imagine that in addition to just the tradition being obnoxious, it's also a really terrible movie.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to do this.
She knew the family. She
exactly.
knew how it went. She
yeah.
wasn't Meghan Markle to it
Charles
all.
And Charles dated her sister first.
Sarah!
So don't you think that's, if I was her, I'd be like, oh, this is kind of weird. But she didn't think that. So
she was handpicked because, oh, the younger Spencer is, and they went on the news to literally call her well-heeled.
Ew.
And then her father and her uncle went her on uncle. To ensure her virginity. That's fucking creepy.
That's disgusting.
It's okay to swear, right? You put E on this? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I do also, just kind of spitballing here, want to say if you haven't watched Die How, I want to make it clear, I don't consider that the truth either. I consider that her truth. And that's very
important. It's her own words.
Yes. And that's very important because no one can take away that that's what she went through.
Absolutely.
That's what... I think she wasn't probably that mentally well throughout the marriage.
Comparable to the spare, though.
Yes. Yeah.
William and Charles and Elizabeth and Philip, none of them are going to be able to release a story. Ever. Right. Camilla cannot write a book. Camilla cannot... Well, I mean, I guess she could, but, like, it'd be terrible. Like,
yeah.
You just don't do that.
Yeah.
So, comparable to kind of how we felt about Harry, like, she's just putting her side out, knowing that no other side can actually be published.
Yes, right. So, if you are a Charles and Camilla fan, which I am.
I definitely still am, too.
It is a spiteful
calculated.
Yeah, calculated, yeah. He's not going to come out looking great, but it's because that's her story. And it's not untrue. It's not true.
She felt she had a really terrible time.
Exactly. And perception is reality. That was her perception. That was her reality.
And some of what I've seen seems real. And her bulimia.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how well known that is. I guess I don't know. I guess I don't know if I even knew about her bulimia until I started really like being obsessed with her.
I agree. I don't think that's like a well known or like a well advertised thing, but...
she was very mentally ill.
She was, and she didn't get the help she needed.
Yeah, because they couldn't have people knowing that she needed help.
Yeah, and she says in Die How that she went to Queen Elizabeth, like, begging for help one day because she was severely bulimic, and Elizabeth essentially said that that's why Charles was unhappy in the marriage, and she was like, and Diana was like, no, this is a symptom of the marriage, not the cause of
where that's we such are. A powerful, like, that. I remember hearing her voice, like, say that, like, that it was treated as the cause of the issues instead of a symptom of the issues.
Right. Oh, I'm watching it tonight.
I watched it last night and I listened to it again today.
Okay. So the expectations going into the marriage were completely opposite. It was not long before the marriage started to disintegrate. It was before the marriage that, Camilla started to creep into the picture, for Diana. Like,
Camilla Diana was aware, yes. Diana was aware of Camilla on her wedding day.
Yes, and she, and Camilla's always been in the picture, but
Diana... Yeah, Camilla never went anywhere, but Diana didn't realize that she was still so relevant.
The night before the wedding, Diana's with her sisters and is pretty much saying, I can't do this because...
he doesn't love me.
No, he doesn't love me. He loves Camilla. And one of her sisters says, tough luck, Dutch. Your face is already on the tea towels.
Tough luck, Dutch. I can hear it.
Oh, my gosh.
Tough luck, Dutch.
So she already, the night before the wedding, already knew something was amiss. She didn't think she should go through with it. And it's not one of those things that, it's not love is blind here, people. We can't just say no at the altar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good reference.
We got merch. We got a bank holiday.
And it was such a... It was too late.
So, yeah, very quickly the marriage disintegrated. Charles was and always had been in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we kind of touched on this later or earlier, but Diana reached a level of fame that's very uncomfortable for anyone in the royal family.
100%.
They want to be... the focus and the star, and Diana quickly outshined him.
Eclipsed
him, and he was not having it.
No.
So that just eats away at his ego.
I can't remember what it was that I saw or read or whatever it was, but it was a clip of, he was like signing documents, and everything was like very... you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden there was a ton of flashes. And he, like, looked up to try to figure out what happened, and all she did was lift her chin so that the paparazzi could finally get a shot of her.
Yeah.
They had 0% interest in what he was signing, what anybody was there for. She lifted her head, and that's when all the flashes went off.
Damn.
And then he does make that one speech, too, that they reference in Die How, where he's like, if only I had two wives and I could walk down the middle and instruct the whole thing.
Yes.
Because he got so intimidated and frustrated that... literally, the crowd was going, oh, we're on the wrong side.
Yeah.
We're on Charles's side. Diana's on the other.
Well, imagine how shitty that
That's
would
so
feel.
That's so sad.
I understand the allure
and
of
Diana
the
didn't want it.
She didn't want it.
She sat there and...
Right.
And
she cried.
Kind of comparable to Jackie Kennedy with mm-hmm. JFK, at yeah. least how it's portrayed in The Crown, mm-hmm. of everybody being obsessed with Jackie and JFK not loving that, but... she's not asking for it.
Yeah.
What is she supposed to do?
Right.
She's just doing her best to support, yeah. And they're loving her. And
yeah. And there's, like, literal, real paparazzi photos of Diana crying in the back of the car because she's so uncomfortable and doesn't want to get out of the car. Like, she was very introverted.
Her fame led to her death.
100%.
No matter how you look at it, no matter
yeah.
what,
yes.
no matter what you consider to be the truth, it all goes back to how big she got, how fast.
I completely agree. And then
she died at 36.
I know. And then you understand why Harry wanted to get Meghan out of there.
Absolutely. I get that.
Oh, you know what I did make a note of is, okay. So a lot of people, we already talked about this, but like a lot of people vilify Charles for the demise of their marriage, that he cheated on her. He was in love with Camilla since day one, and he wanted to marry
Never
her.
Never stopped.
Yeah, yeah, and he wanted to marry her. He would have married her. So it's actually really sad on both parties. But in Die How, there's a scene where she recollects a house party, and Charles and Camilla are downstairs, like, just talking or something, and she's like, I'm going to go confront them. And you could tell how uncomfortable and nervous she was, even, like... recalling the event.
Oh, yeah.
And she says to them, I know this must be hell for both of you that I'm in the way. Like, imagine knowing that's where you are in your marriage is the person that was settled for.
And to even have a fraction of that self-awareness at, what, 25 mm-hmm. tops?
Exactly, yeah.
Like...
because I'd be fighting her, first of all.
That's what I'm saying. I was fighting at 25. Like, I don't, and she just calmly, I've decided I'm not going to kiss her anymore. I'm going to shake her hand.
Yes.
And like, Diana was powerful.
She was
a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, I just got chills because she really, truly was.
Absolutely.
And
she, even after the divorce, went on to do really, really good work.
Incredible.
And like never, her agenda never stopped. She continued to not only follow out her diary of what she believed in, but she still... was supportive to the... like, it's not like she ever turned on the family.
Right, yeah. I actually made a note that it's kind of incredible. After the divorce, she didn't have much time between the divorce and her death. So for such a short amount of time, to have the impact on the world that she's
had... on her
had,
own, absolutely.
Like, she's one of those historical figures that... is still talked about in the same way, like, the Dalai Lama. Like, she...
oh, 100%. She's still relevant.
Yeah, very.
Everybody
very.
Has a Diana story.
Absolutely. So I think that just speaks to who she was as a person and the good she brought to this world. And it's so sad that she had such a sad story leading up to that. I feel like once she got divorced, you really saw her kind of shine on her own and do the things she was passionate
and
about.
And that's why she died.
That's why she died. I 100% agree. And then one more thing about The Crown. One of my favorite clips, I actually just watch it on YouTube sometimes because I love it so much because I'm obsessed with, like, the acting in it. I think it's so good. Is season 4 when Charles screams at her, I refuse to be blamed any longer for this grotesque misalliance.
Grotesque.
Because that is what it was,
oh.
though. That is
grotesque
what it
was. Misalliance.
The writers of that... of
that,
that
was outstanding.
Show are sick.
No,
that's
that was
amazing.
Outstanding.
Yeah, because it truly was a grotesque misalliance. They had nothing.
They had no business being together.
At all. Okay, so long story short, the marriage didn't work out.
It didn't.
And there's, you know, so many reasons, and I completely understand all of them, honestly, from both parties, but to be the heir to the throne and divorce was very upsetting and problematic for the establishment.
Absolutely.
It brought Queen Elizabeth a lot of distress. I think they both, her and Philip, tried a long time to work with the couple to make them make it work.
Yeah.
Because that was his duty, to make it work. You know what I mean? I think they all tried, and it just did not work out, and it was very tumultuous.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, the establishment, their view of the relationship, everything like that, we're going to do a new segment tonight. Megan's come prepared with notes.
Notes.
She's been working like a dog, doing her research, taking notes, and she's come with some conspiracy theory. Well, some, not just conspiracy theories.
No, not just.
You have a lot to say about all of the circumstances surrounding her death.
Yeah, I have a lot to talk about her death.
So I don't know any of this information, so it's going to be news to me and you, and we're just going to let her go.
Well, you know some of it. So okay. when I first, like, to give a background, so we've got the four people in the Mercedes S80. So we've got the driver, Henri Paul. We've got the passenger, Trevor Reeves Jones. And then the back seat, we've got Diana and Dodi Al-Fayed.
The night of her death.
The night of her death. So, brief background, Diana and Dodi had been dating literally only a month. She and Hasnat Khan had just broken up in July. So this was a brand new relationship, and there is speculation that that's why she was so, for lack of a better word, like, photogenic behind it all. She was hoping, allegedly, to win Hasnat back.
Gotcha.
Because a lot has been said of the balance of leave me alone, I want my privacy, versus on the yacht posing for photos.
Right. It's like, you know, you break up with your boyfriend and post to your stories.
So that's essentially what she was doing on the yacht. Like, Hasnat.
What a queen. I love her.
Like, her and Dodi's entire relationship from start to finish was 30 days. Mm-hmm. It did move quickly, and, you know, they had their whole thing. But so those are the main four characters in the car. So we've got Henri Paul, the driver. He was the deputy head of security at the Ritz, which is very relevant. That's where they were coming from. Mm-hmm. So Mohammed Al-Fayed, Dodi's father, was the owner of both the Paris Ritz as well as Harrods. And then Trevor Reese Jones, who was Diana's security at the time, was actually Al-Fayed's security, not the royal family security.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of discussion around that, which actually I think I have further down here as just like a random thought. But in general, people have said, you know, how terrible it was that she wasn't given security after their divorce. She was offered security. She didn't want it.
Okay.
She felt that any security from the British royal family would just be watching her and reporting back to the firm anything and everything she did.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
So she didn't want them.
Yeah.
If the boys were with her, she did have Scotland Yard detectives.
Okay.
That was non-negotiable. But as far as her own security, she was most, at least at this time, was going through Mohammed Al-Fayed's security.
That makes a lot of sense because she did not trust the royal family.
At all.
And the press relationship between them and the press. Like, she would have her apartment checked for bugs and things like that. So to decline their security makes complete sense to me.
Yes. So she knew that security came with strings attached. So she was not interested in any of the British royal family security. So I think what I'll do first is just, so I have a whole bunch of just like random bullet points of suspicious facts. So I do have theories that I'll get into behind some of these things, but right now I just want to lay out weird points.
Okay.
So Henri Paul, he is the driver and the deputy head of security at the Ritz. He was also an MI6 agent and an informant for them since at least 1992.
Can we say what MI6 is?
Please do.
Oh, can you?
Yes, I will. I actually have very specific notes on MI6. So MI6 is the British Secret Service. So they have MI5 and they have MI6. So MI5 is more of their internal, and MI6 is external, watching different countries, different issues out there. So it's the British Secret Service, and their number one priority and justification for existence is that they are there to counteract militant Islam.
Oh.
Their motto is protect the state.
Okay.
So we'll definitely get a little bit more into MI6 in a minute, but they're allegedly, Henri Paul was an MI6 agent and informant since 1992. So we want to, MI6 is the British Secret Service, and Henri Paul is the head of security at the Ritz in Paris. So anything going on in and out of the Ritz in Paris, he can report back to MI6.
Okay.
So, couple suspicious facts. Henri Paul was off duty as of 7 p.m. that night, August 30th. He was called back to work at 10 p.m. once Dodi and Diana canceled their dinner reservations. He was called back to work. To this day, nobody knows where Henri Paul was while off duty from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay.
In that same vein, though, we do have a video of Henri Paul around 10 p.m., balancing perfectly for 43 seconds while tying his shoes.
Okay.
And that becomes relevant because the entire crash ends up being blamed on him.
Right.
For being drunk and speeding.
Right.
But literally an hour before, well, actually, so I have the note here as 10 p.m., but I think it was later if I were to actually look at the timestamp of when he was tying his shoes in the lobby. Because you can see it's on the CCTV from the Ritz security. You see him tying both shoes, shifting his weight, and Trevor Rees Jones is right there. That's not a man that's hammered.
No, absolutely not.
When he did return to work from 10 p.m., so they left the Ritz, I believe, at 12:20. So between 10 p.m. and 12:20, he did go to the bar, and he did have two drinks that night. That's factual. So then a little bit more from that night, Dodi and Diana were supposed to go to a romantic dinner. The paparazzi was out of control and they canceled the dinner and went to the Ritz instead. They were never supposed to be at the Ritz. Henri Paul was called back to work, allegedly. They went up to the Imperial Suite for a couple of hours and then decided to go to one of the apartments owned by the Al-Fayeds. Mohammed is Dodi's father, had been on the phone with Dodi after Dodi said, we're not going to dinner anymore, we're going to go to the apartments. He convinced his son, it's safer at the Ritz. I can guarantee your security at the Ritz, just stay in the suite. Somewhere in that time frame, Mohammed Al-Fayed is convinced that Henri Paul convinced Dodi, it's okay, we can go, it'll be fine. And so Henri Paul organizes this whole diversion. So he goes out to the front, tells the paparazzi, here's approximately the time that we're going to leave. And they have a Mercedes out front. Meanwhile, they go out the back entrance and take a separate Mercedes. So another suspicious fact, the Mercedes route to the apartments. Route or route? Route? Route?
I think it depends on the day for me.
Okay.
I think I usually go with route.
Mercedes route to the apartment. So I don't fully understand this note because I don't know what the Concorde is. But they were going the wrong way. So when they got to the Concorde, the car carried on to the left, heading away from the apartment and away from their apparent destination. Why they were taking that route? We have no idea. Mohammed had convinced Dodi to just stay at the Ritz, but he believes that somehow Henri Paul changed his mind. So then the crash itself, there are several eyewitnesses that claim to see a bright flash and a loud boom.
Okay.
Just suspicious fact.
Yeah.
The general timeline. So 12:23 a.m. The Mercedes crashes into the 13th pillar of the Alma Tunnel, going 65 miles per hour. 12:30 is when first police are on scene. 1 a.m. she was removed from the car but then went into cardiac arrest. 1:18 she was moved to the ambulance. 1:41, they left the scene. At 2:06, she arrived at the hospital, but the ambulance stopped for a number of minutes before taking her inside. So the key for me there is the 141 of leaving the scene and the 206 arriving at the hospital. Mm-hmm. So it was a 5-minute drive. It was 3 miles away at the hospital.
Okay.
So that's a long time.
That's a long time. And that time of it's very early morning. You can't assume that it's like rush hour traffic.
And in that route, drove past 2 other hospitals that they could have taken her into the emergency department. So, and also along the way, made 2 stops, allegedly because her blood pressure was so low.
So what would the stops be?
Exactly.
Like, you don't have the resources to help that in the ambulance?
So, in America, we, quote unquote, scoop and shoot. You get them off the scene, you get them immediately into the hospital. That's the best place they can be.
Yeah.
So why are we postponing getting her to the hospital to try to treat her better in a car?
Right.
It just doesn't... Yeah. Suspicious.
And it's the Princess of Wales. Like, it's not like... you, not for nothing, but you would think that she would get some priority here.
So, from 12:23 is the crash. 2:06, she arrives at the hospital. A long time.
Yeah.
Especially when police were on scene at 12:30 and she was out of the vehicle by 1.
Right.
And the hospital's right there, and you pass 2 hospitals.
Yeah, that's
suspicious. What stuck out for me. Yeah. Suspicious. There's also a, or was at the time, no longer, was at the time, a camera at the entrance of the Alma Tunnel. So it was questioned in the inquiry of, you know, where, or in the police investigation of, you know, let's take a look at that photo, see how fast they were going, like, what's going on. Because remember, we're saying he's drunk and going 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Which actually I didn't get to yet, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
So the camera at the entrance of the tunnel, it was reported that the flash was not working the night of the crash. 15 days later, a random French patron received a ticket in the mail with a flash photo of his face going 60 miles an hour into the tunnel 5 minutes before the Mercedes crashed.
Shut up. I just got goosebumps.
Allegedly, there is also a photo of the Mercedes showing all 4 occupants of the car, because the flash was working, going 60 miles per hour entering the tunnel. I don't know 100% if I believe that there's actually the photo of the Mercedes or not, because I have seen or read something else saying that the photo that they're saying was that photo was actually at a different stoplight or whatever. So,
yeah.
Not positive, but
regardless, a resident of Paris
got a ticket from 5 minutes before.
Yeah, right.
So the flash was working.
Yeah.
The Mercedes S280 that Princess Diana was riding in that night had been stolen at gunpoint.
What?
And returned days before the crash. When it was returned, after being stolen, it was just returned. The only thing missing was the onboard computer chip, which controls navigation, acceleration, steering, and braking.
What?
After the crash, Mercedes offered to come and inspect the car on behalf of the investigation. They offered 3 separate times and were told, no, thank you very much, every time. They were never allowed to look at the vehicle itself, and they were also never provided photos of the crash.
Holy shit.
Suspicious facts. The tunnel, the Alma Tunnel, was immediately cleaned, sanitized with industrial solvent, and reopened to the public and traffic by 7 a.m. the next morning. French police did not isolate or preserve the tunnel at all. The French police did carry out an investigation, but it was kept totally secret. So now we have John McNamara? John McNamara?
McNamara?
Okay. Jesus. I'm not a very good reader.
I don't read so good.
I don't read that good. Say it again.
McNamara?
McNamara. John McNamara. So he's the head of security for Harrods. So he is close with Muhammad Al-Fayed. So Muhammad is like the lead person in trying to figure out what the hell happened in this crash as Dodie's father. Because seemingly the rest of the establishment knows and is part of whatever cover-up is happening.
Yeah.
So, head of security at Harrods, John McNamara. I don't know why that's so hard for me. They requested an independent postmortem of Henri Paul. Denied without reason. Requested an independent analysis of body samples. Denied without reason. Requested to be present at any subsequent examination of Henri Paul's body. Denied without reason. Diana was embalmed immediately. Within hours in Paris.
I have goosebumps.
So they proceeded with embalming Diana without proper authorization.
Yeah.
Under French law, paperwork is required prior. And the paperwork was completed, but several hours after she had already been embalmed. There was no permission ever granted. It was just, quote unquote, authorized by a low-ranking British diplomat that happened to be at the hospital. So because of the embalming, all and any tests were now nullified because of the formaldehyde. So nothing else could be done to her body. You couldn't test to see if she was pregnant. You couldn't test to see if she had been injected with something. You couldn't do... It was done. It was done. Within hours, without proper authorization, and without the paperwork required for French law. Then we've got headlines released blaming Henri Paul. Before his body samples had been analyzed, we had headlines saying he was 3 times over the French legal limit, 2 times over the British limit, and going 121 miles per hour. All three of those things ended up being false and were all released before anything had actually been analyzed. Right. It was a headline published immediately the next day. Because initially they blamed the paparazzi.
Right.
And they arrested those 8 paparazzi. 36 hours later, they switched the blame to Henri Paul.
Okay.
None of his body samples were analyzed yet, though. Henri Paul's autopsy, also a bit suspicious. This is the driver we're talking about. 20.7% carbon monoxide in his system.
What the heck does that mean?
It means he was essentially poisoned. So, that's an abnormally excessive amount. He would have noticeably been suffering, vomiting, passing out. He wouldn't have been able to stand or stay awake, let alone drive, with 20% carbon monoxide in his system. That's a suspicious fact.
I'm scared. I'm not releasing this episode.
It's a suspicious fact.
I'm going to be like, someday I'm going to call you and be like, Meg, I feel like I have a lot of carbon monoxide in my body.
Well, right now. So actually, funny that you're saying this, because so one of the people that is, that I'm quoting quite a bit, not word for word, but where I'm getting a lot of this from is Alan Power. And he's actually the author of the book, The Princess Diana Conspiracy.
Do you have that book?
Not yet.
You should get it for the plane.
Since he began writing, he's been followed by MI6.
Nope, let's not get that.
I'm saying.
Take that out of my cart.
All right. Eric Patel. Let's get to sweet Eric Patel. So he is an eyewitness. He was first on the scene. He was the man behind the Mercedes, and he was the one that pulled Diana back from Trevor Rees-Jones' seat and told her it was going to be okay and help was on the way because she was still conscious.
I have goosebumps.
He spoke to her.
Oh. And he didn't know who she was.
It took him a minute.
Okay.
He realized that he recognized her, but he didn't realize it was Princess of Wales. Right. He just said, "We're going to get help." He called 911 is in UK.
Yeah.
He stated that he didn't see any paparazzi near the Mercedes. The police ignored that statement. He was handcuffed and taken to police headquarters and interrogated by the brigade criminel.
What?
He was declared a fantasist by the French press. And in 2003, his lawyer stated that the police behaved very strangely and somehow managed to lose his witness statement.
Well, yeah, because if he was behind the Mercedes and was able to get to Diana to touch her and talk to her, there wouldn't be paparazzi there. They would be swarming the scene, and you wouldn't even be able to be driving behind the car because it would be paparazzi.
And there were several reports. Well, no, I think there's only like one other report of a woman that was a few cars ahead of the crash, but heard the boom, saw the light in her rearview mirror, and then saw much further back the paparazzi lights.
Okay.
So now our next key player here is Richard Tomlinson. And we're going to talk about his theory.
Okay.
And so it is still his theory, but all of everything that I'm about to share from Richard was made public. So Richard Tomlinson is an ex-MI6 agent. He's an ex-spy. He was actually let go from MI6 in 1995 because, quote-unquote, he was not a team player. He lacked judgment and was not committed to the service. So essentially he had too much integrity.
Yeah.
To right. be an MI6.
Right, exactly. I was just thinking being let go and having that be my reasoning and me being like, okay, no, that
yeah.
sucks.
Yeah,
I feel fine about that.
Okay. So after he hears the witness statements, specifically the bright light and the boom, he realizes that this is actually a meticulously planned assassination using the plan MI6 had previously generated and then archived for the president of Serbia. So his name was, well, I can't read. Slobodan. No, it's not. Jesus. Slobodan Milosevic. Ish. That's about what his name was. They did not end up taking him out.
Okay.
But that was the plan. And in their plan, it was supposed to be the Geneva tunnel. They didn't follow through with this. It was archived. Richard Tomlinson was interviewed. Oh, wait, I just said that. After reviewing the statements and said the bright flash was the strobe light and the plan was to ensure they crashed into a pillar in the tunnel. So, like, that all tracks. All of this was mentioned to the French authorities and MI6 denied it. In 2007, when they finally did the inquest, it did come out that MI6 had lied. And that there is Milosevic documents. Richard Tomlinson also suggests that James Ondenson was an informant for MI6. And we'll get to James Ondenson in just a minute. But Ondenson was actually the allegedly first paparazzi on the scene. He okay. was the driver of that white Fiat Uno.
Okay.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah.
But his daytime job was a photographer, but he was used by MI6 for other things, according to Tomlinson. Suspicious facts.
Yeah.
After MI6 denied that they had no part and that they had no idea what these documents were, Tomlinson tries to get some evidence. He tries to get in back into France, arrested, sent to prison for a year. For breaching the Official Secrets Act.
What?
After he gets out of prison, he comes to the States because he was invited by NBC to come to New York. He lands in JFK and is arrested by the CIA. Unallowed to leave the airport, he was put back on a flight to go back over to Geneva where he had flown from. On September 2nd, 1998, Swiss Air Flight 111, the flight Tomlinson was supposed to be on, crashed off the coast of Nova Scotia.
Megan.
All 229 passengers were killed.
Megan, actually stop.
He wasn't on board.
No, like, I'm scared.
He wasn't on board. He had been immediately deported after arriving JFK and was put on the next flight to Switzerland. The flight that was booked for him blew up midair.
Okay, so I'm petrified right now.
He went on to state that plane crashes were also a standard way in which intelligence services would kill people. James Ondenson.
Oh, so
suspicious facts. Suspicious facts.
That's all it is.
Suspicious facts. So James Ondenson. So James Ondenson is the paparazzi driving the white Fiat Uno. So, witnesses of the crash, or that were either near the tunnel or above, on the bridge above the tunnel, claim that they saw a white Fiat Uno and a motorcycle speeding out of the tunnel right after the crash. The driver of the white Fiat Uno was James Ondenson. Okay, so he was bragging after the fact about being in the tunnel the night of the death, or the night of the crash, and having secret photos that would quote-unquote rock the world. So May 5th, 2000, he committed suicide.
Oh my God, I can't do this. I'm so scared.
He was found in a torched car with two bullet holes in his head. And his body was so charred, it took almost a month to identify him. The official story was published that he committed suicide because his wife had cheated. So, he poured fuel all over him and the car.
Yeah.
Got out of the car.
Yeah.
Shot himself twice in the head. And then also lit himself on fire after that.
Yes.
So there'd be no evidence.
Yes, exactly.
There was no note. The French commander who found him does believe that it was a murder. And forensics have confirmed that the paint from his Fiat Uno matched the white paint on the bumper of the Mercedes. It confirmed that they collided, and that was a significant cause of the crash. French police, quote-unquote, couldn't ever find that Fiat Uno. Mohamed Al-Fayed's team did, though. Nice and quick.
Do you know that I love Mohamed Al-Fayed?
Oh, he won't stop.
No, I love him.
So that's where a lot of these facts come from, is things that he's uncovering. Suspicious facts.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, up against the British royal family, you feel like you don't have a chance, but he's a powerful man, too.
And he's not stopping.
No.
And he will straight out call them out and say, they killed my son.
Yeah.
It's wild. Last suspicious fact. So, have you heard about the letter that Diana wrote to Paul Barrow saying, oh, my husband's planning a crash in my car?
Yes, please check my brakes.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
We don't
fuck with Paul Barrow. I don't fuck with Paul.
Yeah.
Don't love that.
He's a pick me.
However, Diana was so concerned about the possibility of being murdered, she went to see her solicitor, which I had to look up. I didn't know what a solicitor was.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not quite a lawyer, but it's like a legal advisor.
Yeah.
Essentially the same thing. So she went to go see him in 1995, Victor Mishkan. She specifically mentioned to him in their meeting that her husband wanted her out of the picture and that he was planning a motor accident. After she left, Mishkan took notes from their meeting and then consulted with Diana's private secretary, who stated at the time he understood why she felt concerned for her safety. After she was killed in such similar circumstances to what she had told Lord Mishkan, he, Victor Mishkan, the solicitor, went to see Paul Condon, who was then the commissioner of police, told him everything, gave him his handwritten notes, never passed on to the French inquiry. What? Instead, it was locked in a safe.
What?
Had it been passed on to the French inquiry, they would have completely changed the way they were looking at this accident.
Absolutely, yeah.
When Condon retired, John Stevens became the police commissioner. He also kept the letter locked in a safe.
What the hell?
Under English law, it's a crime to not tell a coroner if you have information about the sudden or unexplained death. So it's not just like, okay.
Yeah, right.
No, they're actually breaking a law.
Yeah.
They have information that could or could not be true or suspicious or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're keeping it from the coroner. Until, so it was all locked away in Scotland Yard. Until our boy Paul Barrow sells his note to the Daily Mail.
Okay, Paul.
Fucking of course you did.
Yes.
But this is where it's at least a little bit validating, because, like, okay, so your shit actually did match exactly what they had locked away.
Right, right.
Once he sold the letter to the Daily Mail and it was published, only then did law enforcement make the coroner aware that she actually had predicted the means of her death and provide that paperwork.
Like, was there any repercussions to them waiting so long? Like, what the hell?
Suspicious facts.
That's it.
Now, do you want to hear my theories?
I want to hear your theories so bad.
All right. So most of my theories really are Mohamed Al-Fayed's theories.
Yeah.
Like, none of these are original thoughts.
Okay.
But these are different things that different people have either said or believed to be true.
Okay.
everything I just mentioned is factual. Dates, times, people. This is all getting a little...
Okay, this is just...
These are theories now.
Based on those.
Yes.
Facts. Yes, okay, gotcha.
So, Muhammad Al-Fayed claims Diana and Dodi were killed on the orders of Prince Philip because she was pregnant with his child and they were planning to marry.
So, can... I don't know if you were planning to go
into this. No, go.
Can we quickly and delicately discuss why that would be a problem?
Yes. Because remember, the MI6, British Secret Service, their number one priority and justification for existence is to counteract militant Islam. And so they likely saw a marriage between Diana and Dodi, whether she was already pregnant or not, as a threat because he was Muslim.
Yes.
Even though he wasn't militant Islam by any means,
yeah,
it was likely seen as a military threat.
Yeah.
So we don't even have to talk about Camilla, Philip, Charles. There's realistically a theory that MI6 said, we absolutely cannot have British royal family yes. sleeping with a Muslim.
Right.
No way.
Right.
Their theory, not mine.
Yeah.
And so then with that, they also couldn't risk a potential alternate royal family.
Mm-hmm.
She had already eclipsed him.
Yeah.
Pregnant or not, now that she's happy, now that she's with Dodi, if they were going to announce an engagement and plan to marry, then children were likely in the future.
Yeah.
And that's who everybody's going to be more interested in than
yeah. and that would
these Germans.
The heir to the throne, half-brothers.
Siblings yes. that were Muslim.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Again, not our problem.
No, of course not.
It's just...
There's that. Also a theory that the reason they stopped in Paris instead of going straight home from their vacation was so Dodi could pick up an engagement ring. So there's a theory that the romantic dinner that ended up getting canceled that night was when he was going to propose. Witnesses claim that they saw the white Fiat Uno in a motorcycle speed out of the tunnel seconds after the crash. Realistically, those could both be representatives of MI6. It could be James Anderson ensuring the crash, and then the motorcycle. There are reports of a small red needle mark on the inside of Diana's thigh. So that long ambulance ride was to ensure that she would die. And that potentially injuries were made worse during that long ambulance ride. So there's a theory that that injection came from the MI6 agent that was on the motorcycle. I could almost choke up. Like, no, it's wild.
Yeah.
So it's a theory. It's a
yeah,
theory.
Right, of course, yeah.
Another theory, Henri Paul's blood sample. Because that's a big question mark in the whole thing. Even after the 2007 inquest, it was still blamed on Henri Paul. But nobody can explain the carbon monoxide.
Right. And even the fact that the inquest came in 2007.
Like, 10?
Yeah.
That's a whole different note that I didn't even decide to get into. But yeah. That's ridiculous
right.
as well.
Exactly.
Suspicious facts.
Exactly.
But so the theory here is that Henri's Paul blood sample was actually swapped with a fresh corpse who was drunk and committed suicide via car exhaust.
Oh.
And it's right. one of the only ways you can explain why there would be that high levels of carbon monoxide.
Right.
And even in the 2007 inquest, the coroner had to admit that the carbon monoxide cannot be explained.
Oh my God, if you could see me right now, I'm like folded into myself because I'm yeah. so uncomfortable.
Not here. Because it's cold in this basement, because she's terrified.
I'm so
I
scared.
Hope this still gets published. Please yeah, post it.
What if I'm like, I don't know.
I'm going to be taken out when we go to London.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, this bitch.
Yeah. They're going to see your passport like, oh, we actually have to talk to you over here.
But so, even in the inquest, coroner could not explain that carbon monoxide. The last theory that I put in here, because it's worth mentioning, but I don't know if I'm that into this one, but that from 7 to 10, when nobody knows where Henri Paul was, that he was actually with a secret lover that was part of the conspiracy and planted a vial on him. And the vial was triggered by a remote control when he entered the tunnel, and that's what caused him to lose control and crash.
Okay.
Know.
But you know what the thing is when you told me you wanted to come over and give me your conspiracy theories, you know, I'm not a big, like, I feel like you're into conspiracy theories
all day.
More than I am.
We should get into JFK in a minute.
Oh, do you want to get me killed? but, you know, I take them with a grain of salt most of the time. And I kind of planned that this would be like, oh, like entertaining more so. Everything you just said tracks so perfectly that it's scary. Like, it's very scary. It's very scary.
She was murdered. This was not a car accident. I don't know by who. That's why I did facts and then theories.
Yeah.
I don't know by who.
Yeah. But I like
that this is a cover-up.
Yes. And I like that you said earlier, regardless of who you think killed her, she was killed because of the level of fame that she... Because,
100%.
Because a lot of people think, you know, it was paparazzi following her and that's what crashed the car. And I feel like that's the more accepted theory.
Right.
But now listening to all of this, it's like, you just blew my mind. I'm speechless. You just blew my mind.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
No, it's a lot. And that's why I really spent a lot of time on these notes, because I didn't want to say, like, I remember one time I heard, or I feel like I read, like, I really wanted to go back and, like, look up flights, look up models of the car, look up times that they arrived. Yeah. Like, it's suspicious as fuck.
Yeah. And it's... Oh, my God.
And there are actually experts, analysts or whatever, that say that this does remind them of the pileup of corpses that followed JFK.
Yeah.
Because real quick, over the course of 4 years, 37 witnesses died of mysterious circumstances in that story.
Witnesses of what?
JFK's assassination.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The third bullet came from the Secret Service in the car behind. Well, whatever. That's a different episode. Well, that's not this podcast. Yeah.
You should start one.
Conspiracy theories with Meg V. Okay, last couple things that I do have is just like random notes. So there is a Dr. Elizabeth Dion that had come forward and stated that she did see a fetus in Diana's corpse.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. She since has not repeated that. By the time the police did find her and track her down... and the affidavit was submitted. She just stated, "Oh, you know, I was working in San Francisco at the time. I wasn't even on the French Rota, and just shut it down."
Yeah.
But a note I made about that was, it's irrelevant whether she was or not. Mm-hmm. If there was and realistically, if she were pregnant and somebody saw a fetus, that's Hasnat Khan's baby.
Yeah.
Hasnat Dodi's.
Yeah.
But either way, both Muslim. So it's irrelevant whether there was actually a baby yet or not.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
If somebody thought that there could or would be a baby
eventually, yes,
then that would be a threat.
Yeah.
And that it's the same. Yeah. It's the same if there was a fetus or not.
Yes. Agreed.
Two random notes. Allegedly, it was King Charles that insisted that the coffin be draped in the royal standard, which I did like.
I like that so much.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And I also really liked Prime Minister Tony Blair in 97. Did a real beautiful tribute when he did the speech about her. And then lastly, my things about Paul Barrel that I find extremely annoying.
We hate him.
Hate him. So he was Diana's butler from 1987 to 1997. Super annoying. He has said that the royal family abandoned her and she wasn't protected. He's compared her to a peacock in captivity that once let free, obviously something killed it. Okay, Paul. He also said that he gave Harry Diana's engagement ring, who then gave it to Will when he was ready to propose to Kate.
Which was just a bold-faced lie.
Somebody's a liar here. Paul or Harry. Yeah. Either way, Harry literally came right out on Netflix and said, I don't know where that came from. That never happened.
And I feel like that would make Harry look great. So what does he get from lying? Yeah.
Paul Barrel was also... Or he has also said it took the ambulance over an hour to get to the hospital. Don't get me wrong. The ambulance ride is a point of contention.
Yes.
But he's been quoted saying it was a 70-minute drive. No, it wasn't. No. Maybe it was 70 minutes from the crash till she arrived at the hospital.
But these are important distinctions.
But yeah, what do you... shut up, Paul.
He's such a pick me.
He also has said that it's such a shame that they couldn't give her back her Royal Highness title in death. Excuse me. Charles went to Paris, put the royal standard on her coffin after their divorce. She was treated as a member of the royal family in death.
Right.
Why would she get her title back just because she died? You guys divorced.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong, love Di. But yeah. Shut up, Paul.
No, that's not how it works.
Paul, that's not how it works.
What the fuck do you know, Paul?
And Paul is the self-proclaimed closest confidant to Diana.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul.
Very self.
Okay, Paul. Those are my facts and theories, and then random thoughts.
That's actually, like I said, I went into this very excited to hear, like, your stories and stuff, but I didn't think that they would... You know how I say it's good to be able to accept new information and change your mind?
Yeah.
You just did that for me.
Like, it's bad.
No, it's really bad. It's really heavy. And I don't know. I actually always felt that there was a plan from the royal family. Like, if someone told me that they had her killed, it wouldn't have surprised me. Like, I was like, oh, it's either the paparazzi or that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't, like, blow my mind. But all of these facts, I just feel like it's so clear what happened.
It's not an accident.
Right.
It's not an accident. That much is, I think, very obvious. Personally, I'm more comfortable with MI6 getting involved and hoping that it's not too much from the royal family.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also from what we have seen. So I think a lot about, and again, I go back to The Crown, which I think does a really excellent job because I don't know them personally, obviously.
Don't we know?
But there's a scene when Elizabeth is on the plane, and I believe it's still with Tommy Lassells. Oh. And she's concerned about everything going on with Margaret and Townsend and how his fame is getting so big. And eventually she just says, handle it. And, like, looks away. And doesn't.
Tommy says, leave it with me.
Yep. And so I'd like to imagine and kind of assume that that is potentially how some of that goes.
Yeah.
All she needed to say was, okay, it has to be dealt with. And then whatever MI6 did to deal with it.
And I like the idea of Charles not being in on it.
I know. I don't.
I don't like to. I like to think. I don't know. Okay, so here's what I'm choosing to believe. Okay, this is what I'm choosing to believe based on what you just told me. All of these things. Definitely she was killed. The party, I choose to believe, was responsible for it was MI6, just solely based on how close she was getting to the Al-Fayed.
A Muslim yes. threat.
Yes.
Islamic threat. I don't know. I don't think it's a threat.
No.
You know.
I like to think that that was reason. And then, like you said, maybe they just briefed someone in the royal family on it. And maybe they didn't.
I want to believe they didn't. I want to believe the royal family just said handle it.
If they did, the person that said handle it would be Philip.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I don't think Elizabeth would handle it like that because she was a grandmother. Not that Philip was not a grandfather, but it was different.
I don't know.
Megan!
I know! I don't want to think this.
Okay, then can we... I don't know if we can agree on this. Can we agree... Do you think Charles knew or no? We're going to his coronation.
So that's what I want to be very clear. I'm still obsessed with the British royal family. I still love KC3. I'm going to be there for him in the crowds. I cannot. I think he had a tragic situation. Do I think he had no idea what happened?
Yeah.
No. And I think he was blindsided by this car accident. No.
Yeah.
But I think he planned it? No.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was not new information, I don't think. Have you ever heard people from the military, like, if you ask them about, like, kills?
Yeah.
They don't like to talk about kills, but they'll say targets.
Yes.
I hit targets.
Even Harry went into it, where he thought of them as chess pieces.
So, I don't think that they killed Diana, but I think they eliminated a target.
I love it. Yes, that's exactly what
And that's why I can... I can't... Well, no, I guess I kind of can. I guess that's kind of fucked up. But I can kind of compartmentalize it.
Yes, I can too, yeah.
It wasn't Princess Diana, William and Harry's mother that they took out. They took out a threat to the firm. Yeah. A threat to the monarch. A threat to the sovereign.
Yes. And I think it was MI6 and Charles had nothing to do with it.
We could leave it on that. God save the king.
So...
You're red. Are you okay?
No, your chest I'm not is okay. No, I'm not. okay.
This was my favorite episode.
Oh my gosh.
If I get taken out, know that
you went on.
I'm okay. I went out doing what I stand by it.
Okay, well, we're going to have a fun 7-hour plane ride.
Yeah.
Will you research more? It doesn't even have to be about them, but can we spend some of the time on the flight talking about conspiracies?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Want to talk about any right now? Kanye's dead. No, for sure. He's been replaced by tall Kanye. The real Kanye's gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Britney's gone, too.
You think?
100%.
Oh, yeah, because I saw a picture of her the other day, and she looked okay.
Yeah, go back through her pictures. The gap's there. It's not there. There's flowers in the background. Why there's flowers not in the tattoo on her foot. Not on her foot.
Why would they get rid of Britney? Oh, maybe, like, child star right now? Stuff. Yeah, gotcha. Okay, no. Okay, so tall Kanye and Britney's gone.
I mean, way more than that. Ellen took out Twitch. Ellen?
Oh, I was thinking of the streaming platform Twitch.
Oh, no. Like, remember Twitch the dancer, her DJ?
Why'd you do that?
Because he knew too many secrets and he was coming forward.
Like, gotcha.
Okay, yeah, so I mean, she's like on Epstein list.
Yeah.
She's a sick fuck.
Yeah.
I have to go to the bathroom again. Can we wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Sorry. Okay, so now that I'm actually terrified, we are going to King Charles' coronation.
I can't wait.
I actually could cry thinking about it. I know this is a weird segue.
No, but I'm still... weird segue, but I'm still so proud of him.
Yeah.
He's come a long way, and it's been a rough road for him, too.
He had just as sad of a story.
Exactly.
Throughout their marriage, and after their marriage, so...
And even if he did or didn't know or do it or didn't do it, he was still impacted by her death.
Totally.
He still had to be there for his boys who lost their mother.
Yes.
Like, that's...
Yes.
It was all very heavy.
He did the best he could. And I do want to just reiterate that these are not, like, the fact. I mean, you said all the facts, but that doesn't mean that we're saying that Charles was... murdered Diana. Like,
oh, no.
Conspiracy theories, choose to believe them or not.
Correct.
You know.
That's why there was a fact section and a theory section. Yeah.
So, that's why we're still going. That's why we still love the family, and we're going to the coronation, because it's all theories. But I definitely am going to lose sleep tonight, so thank you so much for coming. This was so fun, though. And the next episode, we'll probably be recapping the coronation.
I cannot wait.
The fucking coronation. That's crazy.
We have so much to do.
Oh, I'm so excited. But thank you so much. Thank you for listening. And should we say it? I don't think you get privileges to say it.
Let me say it.
Okay.
You can say it with me.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
God save the king.